I pray that this morning's lesson will touch some good and honest hearts and will cause you to obey the gospel before you leave this auditorium this morning. I invite you back at 5 p.m. where I will present a lesson called In the Beginning. In the Beginning. It's about the book of Genesis, which we just started teaching in our Bible class last Wednesday. And the title of this morning's lesson is He Went Away Sorrowful. And I might also add, next Sunday morning, I intend to preach a sermon on the Lord's Supper, why we do it, and why the Lord asked us to do this. So please be there to understand exactly what the Lord's Supper means to Christians. So I invite you now to open your Bibles and follow along, because as always, I don't want you to take my word. I don't want you to take any man's word, only the Word of God, the Bible. As we begin this morning, I would like to turn to Matthew, the 19th chapter, where we will be reading verses 16 through 22. Matthew 19. Go ahead and turn there if you would. Now, this is one of the most interesting accounts in the gospel and is also found in Luke chapter 18 and Mark chapter 10. In his time on earth, Jesus dealt with all different kinds of people. But this young man that we'll be reading about is unique. He was a fellow who certainly appeared to have it all. He had it all. The story begins with such a positive note and then has a terrible, sad ending when we find that he went away sorrowful. Why did he do that? What went wrong? Why did he go away sorrowful? Well, let's read the story and find out. The Bible says in Matthew 19, beginning in verse 16, And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do, that I may inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let's talk a little bit about this young man, because I think we can all probably recognize him. We all know people just like him. Some of you may even recognize yourself in this young man. And from a worldly viewpoint, he had everything. From a worldly viewpoint, he had it all. If we would come up with a parallel in our society today, we would probably be this young corporate executive who has climbed up the ownership, and he's up in the up and coming law, maybe an up and coming young lawyer who has been made a partner in a major law firm. He would live in a fine house. He'd live in a good neighborhood, have all the latest electronic toys, and drive a real nice car. He was young and undoubtedly very ambitious. But he was also spiritual. He kept the commandments of God and wanted to do even better. You might recall that Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, he said, Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And this young man was doing just that. He also occupied a position of prestige among his peers, because in the parallel accounts of Luke 18, verse 18 tells us that he was a ruler. He had great possessions. And Luke 18:23 tells us that he was very rich. Again, from a worldly standpoint, this was the kind of person that people envied. A success in every sense of the word. But even he knew that something was missing. And that is why he came to Jesus and asked the questions that he did. But brethren and friends, heaven views things differently than man does. These accounts reveal a young man who was most commendable. He was sincere. He was enthusiastic. Mark tells us that he came running to Jesus. He showed a great humility, even in a position that he occupied, because Mark also tells us he kneeled to him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He was an honorable young man, one who said that he kept the commandments of God from my youth, and Jesus didn't deny that. The question asked is, what lack I yet? Shows not only his good moral character, but his great desire to please God. This is the kind of guy that we want our daughters to bring home. But all of this wasn't enough. He was a good moral man, but so was Cornelius, a good moral man who worshiped God, and he was lost. This young man, in spite of so much good he had going for him, he still lacked something. We will look more closely at the two questions this young man asked. First, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Well, it's apparent that this fellow, like so many folks today, felt that if he could just do the right thing, or maybe do enough of the right thing, then he would be okay and he would be saved. Perhaps he thought that he could work his way into heaven, create a ledger sheet with so many good works on it that he would earn his way in. But nobody can do that. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 2, if you would, in verses 4 and 5. Paul wrote Ephesians 2 and verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." Listen now, "by grace ye are saved." Nobody can obey so perfectly or come up with enough good works of their own to make it to heaven. It just won't work, brethren. Salvation is based on this, on the grace of God, and we appropriate that grace through our faith that worketh by love. His desire for eternal life was most commendable, but he would learn that salvation is not available just by doing the good works that he came up with. He then asked a second question. He asked, "What lack I yet?" So Jesus reminded him of the commandments of the law of Moses, the law that they were living under. And this young man very confidently stated that he had kept those commandments from his youth. The interesting thing is that Jesus, whom the Bible tells could read the heart and knew what was in man, he didn't argue that point with the young man. As a matter of fact, at this point of the account, Mark tells us Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. This young man was telling the truth, but it still wasn't enough. He didn't lack anything that most people strive for today. He had power, he had wealth, and he had prestige, position, and you name it. He had it all. But he still lacked something and was perspective enough to realize that something was missing. It is interesting that sometimes just one thing, vitally important, is needed. Maybe it is the key to unlock the door. Maybe it's a missing ingredient in a pie or whatever. But he was such an outstanding young man. What could he possibly be lacking? Think about it. What could he be lacking? Well, the reply of Jesus was simply and profound. At the same time, Jesus said, "Go, sell that which thou hast and give to the poor." For the rich man, that was very demanding. You remember what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10? Let's turn our Bibles there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Brethren, I believe this passage will, reading this passage will help us understand a little better what the Lord was actually saying to this young man. And Paul wrote, beginning with verse 6 of 1 Timothy 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If you put the Lord's statement and what Paul wrote together, it's easy to see what this young man lacked. Selling all that he had to follow Jesus was just too high of a price. But it really wasn't about how much he had, it was about where he put his trust. In truth, Jesus offered this young man a great trade. Think about it. Think the trade that he offered him. He told him after he gave his funds to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Think about that. Come with me to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Now this is Jesus speaking, and he said in Matthew 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Looking at his heart, Jesus knew that when push come to shove, this young man cared too much about what he had. Jesus was offering him everything that truly mattered, but he couldn't see what was being offered, only what he had to give up. That's the only thing he could see, what he had to give up. And Jesus continued and told the young man, come follow me. Evidently, this was not what the fellow wanted to hear either, for he didn't follow. Jesus didn't want his money. He told the young man to give it away. He wanted the young man. Jesus wanted this young man. He wanted this young man to deny himself and to follow the Lord, because that is what being a disciple is all about. Brethren and friends, do you understand? It's not always about money. It's about what is most important to us. And it can be money. But it can also be sports, or politics, or a person, or maybe even your job. Anything that is really important in our lives, whatever it is, that we would not give up for the Lord. And this is what the Lord was teaching the young man. This is what the lesson is about. Now look with him, Matthew the 16th chapter, if you would. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is it profit? Well, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? How many times have we read this and just went over it and didn't think about it? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's need to be thought about very, very, very deeply. I wonder how much this young man, for that matter, how much all of us would willingly give on the day of judgment to hear the Lord say, enter in, rather than depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This young man departed from the Lord in a much different way than he came. You remember, he came running to see Jesus, eager and filled with zeal and desire. But when he left, I think it's safe to say it was with his head hanging as he thought about what he had just given up in order to hang on to all his riches. He went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. He had failed, and he knew it. Why else go away sorrowful? Again, it really wasn't about the money as far as Jesus was concerned. It was about the heart. Please come with me, if you will, to Matthew, the 19th chapter again. Now, after this young man left, Jesus said to his disciples in verse 23, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at that statement, and they asked in verse 25, "Who then can be saved? Who then can be saved?" And the Lord's answer was, as seen in verse 26, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." The point was, no one can work his way to heaven or buy his way to heaven. This is as impossible as a camel going through the eye of a needle. But God can make it happen. But the only way to take advantage of what God has made possible is to deny oneself, to make the Lord first and foremost, absolutely number one in our lives, submitting to Him in humble obedience. That, brethren and friends, is how treasure is laid up in heaven. Let's look at that again. The only way to take advantage of what God has made possible is to deny oneself, make the Lord first and foremost, absolutely number one in our lives, submitting to Him in humble obedience. That's what we have to do, brethren. And you know, brethren, treasure in heaven will last. It will not rust and it cannot be stolen. You won't lose it if the stock market fluctuates or if we go into a deep recession or even a depression. I want to look with me about the treasure in heaven that Peter wrote about. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Peter wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." It is your choice, brethren and friends. It is your choice. You make the choice whether you want to go to heaven or hell. God never forced Jesus to comply to His will, and neither will He force us to comply. No matter how difficult our refusal is for Him to endure, He is not going to force anyone to go to heaven. It won't matter if you live a good life, work hard every day, pay your taxes, obey the laws of the land, come to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening, go to every gospel meeting that you possibly can. None of this will matter if you are not a Christian. And if we really believe what the Bible teaches, we must believe that there is but one way to heaven, and that is by Christ and His Word. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Then after the final judgment, the Christian will experience the final glory when he will hear the Lord say to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." That's why we're all here. That's the words we want to hear. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Then God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away. Brethren, I beg you, this morning, that you will come in humble submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sin, confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is, and then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And then, as we always say, you then will be on that road that leads to heaven. And if Jesus comes back today, we'll all go home to heaven together. And that's what we're all striving for. There could be possibly some of you here maybe who have done that. But you have sinned in a way that others are aware of. If you have done that and repented to God, won't you too come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. Then you'll be a member in good standing. Can we help anyone in any way? If we can, please, please come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.